Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Jonathan Ritter. Hope you guys are having a good week. Friday's right around the corner. I don't know if you guys are still at home or if you are you're working. I know here in Louisiana, we're still kind of a lot of places are still on lockdown. This week I went back to work, and I tell you, after having a month off, just kind of chilling and reading my Bible and praying a lot, and you know, fasting and kind of just meditating on the Word of God, and enjoyed that time to be able to do that and write some sermons and just worship God and pray a little bit harder. More time for God, right? I started back work Monday, and it's kind of been chaotic, and like your body's like not wanting to do it because you kind of been home and relaxing, or at least my body. But you know, this series sermon that we're focusing on is very important, guys, to recognize the fruit in our lives, especially as a Christian. And I kept running this through my mind. It's like fruit that produces fruits. You know, we're looking at Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And we're that Matthew 7, 16 through 20. That's kind of complemental, using those together. And one thing I suggest you guys to read these scriptures and memorize them. With anything in the Bible, memorizing the Word of God is just powerful. You know, you keep it in your heart. I like to think of it being tattooed on our heart, the words of God. When you can recite the Word of God without even having the Bible, because you memorize it, that's a powerful thing. And I recommend to memorize these scriptures and pray over these scriptures, that your life is a reflection of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, well, and of course we went over love, agape. That's a unadulterated, pure, unconditional love, right? And then we went over joy, and that's how I kind of remember joy. I probably heard it from somewhere through my reading. Is that's joy. That's J, Jesus over you. It's not about us. If you really want to get more specific, I came across a definition. And if you guys didn't catch the previous sermons, this is a series sermon. So the first sermon is kind of the basis. I do explain fruit and fruits there. At least one definition of it from a biblical perspective. There are several thoughts on that. But the most important out of this message is, are we showing the fruit of the Holy Spirit to that lost person out there? Can they see that there's something different? Can they see Jesus in me? And if you want to look more specific, joy, I found this definition. It said, joy can be defined as a profound decision of faith and hope in the power of Jesus' own life and love. And that kind of wraps around that love too. And honestly, all these things that we're talking about, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, they wraps around love. Love is one of the key essential concept in the Bible, if you really look at it. And this specifically way, we're looking at love, agape love. That's the love that Jesus showed on the cross. That's the love he calls us to be defined as. You know, the Bible tells us, they'll know us by our love, and that's agape love, right? Today, we're moving on to the next fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that is peace. And what I'll do is, what I've been doing is, I'm going to read through Galatians 5, 16 through 26, and Matthew 7, 16 through 20, and then we'll have some prayer, and then we'll step off into this. And I hope you guys are blessed through this series. I don't know who's out there listening. God just put it in my heart to start this website, and it's nothing, you know, it's nothing fancy. It's just, it's really, You know, I'm kind of low budget. It's a low budget website. I fear if I do it any fancy, God will provide the means for that. But right now, it's just low key, and my motto is if one person listens to a sermon on there, out there in the big old web, and it changes their life, and that's all that matters. You know, I believe heaven rejoices when one lost person finds their way to the cross, to a love that only can be defined through Jesus Christ. So as we look at Galatians 5:16 through 26, kind of goes like this. If you reading from the King James Bible, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But it would be that if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. Verse 24. Envying, murder, drunkenness, revelling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, leads us also to walk in the Spirit. Let us not be the cease of vainglory and provoking one another to envying one another. In Matthew 7:16 through 20. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bring not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Heavenly Fathers, we just come today, Lord, thanking you for another opportunity, Lord, to look into your word and to dive into your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, as I speak, that I speak the words that you have me to speak today, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit speak through me, Lord, to reach whoever that needs to be reached with this message today, Lord. I pray, Lord, forgive me where I've failed you today in my many faults. Lord, just create in me a pure heart, a humble spirit, to be able to speak on the words today that I'm not worthy to speak on, Lord. I pray, Lord, you know what's going on all around whoever's hearing this message, Lord. And I pray within that storm, Lord, they recognize that they are not alone. There's a hope that is beautiful. There's a hope that will bring you to your knees, and that is Jesus Christ. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, as I look across the landscape of our world, and if I guess you want to get more specific, the landscape of America, especially with this coronavirus and the panic that you see all around us, you know, rushing to Walmart and grabbing supplies. One of the things that kind of threw me off at the beginning of this pandemic is you could not find toilet paper. The only correlation that I can look at that was in China, they ran out of toilet paper. So I just think that one person panicked, another person seen it. It's called mass chaos, mass panic, and next thing you know, Walmart don't have no toilet paper. And then it went from there to the meat, not having enough meat, and then it went from water and then Lysol wipes and Lysol, and still you have a hard time even finding Lysol wipes right now. And then of course now it's the face mask and the gloves, and this panic, right? It's real. And you look around and you see the world, and you know, it breaks my heart. It may break yours, because I don't see much peace in that. And the sad thing is, some of our brothers and sisters, I don't see much peace in their life either. They're blending in with this chaos all around us. You see, our peace is different, guys. The world's peace does not equal a child of God's peace. They are totally different. You know, I was thinking of the account when disciples were in the boat with Jesus, and a storm came, and you know, Jesus was over there sleeping. You know, the disciples were freaking out, and there's Jesus just sleeping, and you know, he woke him up and they say, "Do you care?" I'm paraphrasing. If we die, and you know, Jesus rebuked that storm, and everything came calm, because he is the master of the wind. He is the master of the storm. He is the true hope. He is the anchor of our soul, right? It says in Hebrews. And that theme of hope is spread out through the Bible. Jesus is our hope. To me, he is the only hope. And what I want to do is I'm going to and talk about a world's peace. And then I kind of want to take that and look at our peace, how we should be different. I don't know if you guys have experienced tornadoes and hurricanes and, you know, serious storms. If you have, you'll understand. If you haven't, you may have seen it on TV, Weather Channel, when they're reporting on devastating tornadoes and twisters. And then you may have seen some TV shows like the movie Twister, with, you know, how that tornadoes. And there's, of course, a bunch of other disaster movies out there that are involving weather. Yeah, I personally have experienced my share of bad weather living in Louisiana. Hurricanes and tornadoes were pretty, and still are pretty common. Just recently, maybe a month, maybe less than that, you know, we got hit. Especially in Leesville, and a tornado came through, and it did some serious damage. You see trees on top of the house, and I don't believe anybody got hurt, and that's, of course, that's a blessing. But the, you know, that you just see the aftermath. You see these big old trees, and the root systems just ripped out of the ground, and you know, I know. I was thinking back as a child, and I've experienced, you know, as a child, you know, tornadoes and hurricanes. And I remember one night I was in living in a trailer in just a little town called Anacoco. I mean, it's just a little spot on the map. And I can remember hearing the wind hitting, the rain, the hail falling hard. I don't know, it's, to me, and when I start thinking back, it kind of sound like bullets from a gun firing. And then, you know, you already have, I'm already in a state of kind of panicking, and my peace is already gone, and I'm a kid, I'm scared, you know. And then the lights go out, you know, and then it really gets real then, right? A lot of fear. And then my mom and my dad, they come in the room, and they comfort me as much as they could, and they tell me it'll be okay, you know. You know, they'll tell us, you know, reassure me, the Weather Channel or the media at that time, we're not in the danger zone. You know, this is not the severe. We'll be okay. And you know, that helps. That helped, that reassurance from my parents, regardless if it's true or not. You see, guys, peace that this world offers, You may be on the Weather Channel News family, this peace. It could just be an empty promise. And when we look at this world's peace, it's only a temporary comfort. It's not a permanent peace. The world will try to tell you that it'll be okay. When we look at the world peace, we can look at it in three aspects. The first aspect, the world peace, is a fleeing and changes with the circumstances. I guess the best example or best illustration is what we're going through right now with the coronavirus and how much panic and fear is causing all around us. I know if you think about 4 months ago, this virus was nowhere in our mindset, as especially in America. It was not in our mindset, but today in America, we're just all running around, right? And we don't really have a lot of peace in our mind, and we don't know much about this virus, you know. You know, you can get the flu shot and a vaccine for that. But with this thing, you really don't have that option of treatment yet, a vaccine. So that we always fear the unknown, right? That's, but the media will tell you, they, and they'll say, hey, don't worry, we're working on a vaccine. We're going to get it out to you guys. And meanwhile, you know, if you have these symptoms, go to the hospital. They have a now they have some form of treatment they can do that. For meanwhile, they have a testing now. If you remember, they were having issues at the very beginning of this, testing everything. But you know, I want to tell you the reality of this. You know, all the vaccines and all the treatment, all this is temporary, guys. You see, you can get the flu regardless of all the preventives that you take. And I'm not telling you not to take preventives. I'm just saying don't place your faith in that. Be led by the Spirit. Let it guide you and direct you. You know, when you're going, pray on it till it hurts. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you in that decision, in the sense of getting a vaccine and all that. And of course, we need to take precautions, right? And but the world will tell you they have the answers. They are the answers, man. If you look at the, you know, well, I'm watching a little TV here and there, and you hear we'll get through this. I'll get through this. We'll make it through this. See, the world don't want nothing to do with God. Their peace, how it's defined, doesn't want anything to put God in the definition of it. It's all about what we can do. It's all about what we can develop. We could develop everything in the world, but another flu strand or another virus comes through, can cause the same thing. We need to put God in the center of everything. It's not about what we can do. It's not about what I can do. It's about what my God can do. You know, we think we're in control, but we're not in control of anything. That is the reality. But the world will not tell you that. They're going to say we have the answers, when they really don't have nothing. The true answer lies in the Word of God, and leading and letting the Holy Spirit guide and direct you in those moments. The second thing, if you look at a world's peace, it's built on a weak foundation of compromise. I know with this coronavirus, you see the government tells us it's going to be okay, and that, and but then you know, they tell them we need to compromise, and that's what you're seeing on the landscape of America, is compromise, when they're telling you who is essential and who is not. I was getting a phone call just then. I don't normally get phone calls around this time of night. Sorry about that, guys. But you know, the government tells us what businesses are essential and what businesses are not essential. I want to tell you, you know, when the government tells us that Walmart and retail stores, gas station, abortion clinics, places that sell alcohol, and of course hospitals really are essential, and they, of course, you know, we need groceries and we need a hospital, but we really don't need abortion clinics open or liquor stores. I don't consider those essential. I consider those a non-essential. And then the government tells us that we're not able to assemble within our church as a building, that is non-essential. But then they're telling, see, that's compromise, guys. I don't care how you want to view it, that is a compromise. Yeah, I know the church service is a building, you know, we are the church, and you hear all this, and the real threat is our compromise and how we will try to rationalize it to the point where we let the government come in there and dictate what is essential. Why aren't people speaking up and saying, why are you telling us our churches are non-essential, while Walmart is essential, while retail stores are essential, why abortion clinics are essential, and the places that selling alcohol stores, liquor stores are open, while those are essential and the church isn't? I disagree with the government telling us that our churches are non-essential. They are essential. Our foundation was built on the church, and the true peace is Jesus Christ, and He established the church. He established the gathering together of saints. Today we gather in a church building, of course, and back in the in Acts it was like, you know, homes and stuff, and we can still gather in homes and still preach at home. But when the government tells us that we need to compromise to be able to establish a peace, the world's peace, this is what they're saying. We got this. We are in control. Have faith in us. Have faith in the media. Have faith in the news. Those are more important than God. And I'm not making a wild accusation. If you go back, And when they remove Bibles from schools and prayer from schools, America's been declining ever since. And it's just progressively getting worse and worse and worse. And it will keep on getting worse and worse if we don't stand up and make some noise, in the sense that we tell them, the government, which is supposed to be about we the people, not them that are in the government. They're supposed to be representing us. They're not supposed to be telling us what to do, in a sense that we elect them in there to do a job. If we look at the third thing on world peace, it ignores the root of the problem. You see, this world peace will always ignore the true root of the problem, and that is sin. They don't want to speak of sin. And if you look at Genesis 1 through 3, you know, God created this world. It was beautiful. It was perfect, you know. It wasn't plagued by extreme heat, cold, viruses, any kind of sickness, you know. The garden had animals in that garden, animals upon animals, and they did not eat each other. They were not meat eaters. They were plant eaters. Meaning that you could take the most vicious animal out there, say a lion, and he would be eating grass or some form of fruit. You know, I love watching the Animal Planet documentaries kind of things. And when you're looking at that, you can clearly say animals. If you curse, look at lions and stuff, they're definitely meat eaters. You know, you look at alligators, prairie dogs, they eat meat, right? And that was all part of that curse. You know, God created Adam and Eve, the first human beings on earth. And they were supposed to tend the garden. They were supposed to live in paradise. They didn't have nothing to worry about. No pain, no suffering. But then, you know, within that paradise, you know, God gave them things to do. And He gave them just one commandment that was, or one I guess, yeah, you say a commandment to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because he says, surely eat of that tree, you surely will die. You know, and then Satan's there, and he hears all that, and he goes into the serpent, and he uses the serpent to deceive Eve in taking of the fruit, disobeying God. And then, of course, Eve gave it to Adam, and Adam did, and that's when sin, the fall of man, comes into this world. And, you know, when you look at a world peace, or you look at the world period, they don't want to admit that they're sinful in nature, you know, because sin runs rampant in this world. The liberals out there, they don't want to acknowledge their sin, because they want to approve abortion, killing of our kids. They want to approve of homosexual marriages or any kind of sexual immorality out there. You know, there's even things out there talking about, why should somebody have more than, you know, why should it just, the marriage should be limited to, you know, a man and a woman. Why can't it be the man have multiple wives? And I mean, it's just, it's the sin is running rampant. See, it could have ended with Adam and Eve, but God loved us too much to end it there. And of course, Genesis 3:15 tells us the promise, that is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came on the screen, on the scene, and he had to suffer at the very end on that cross, that he died. And he was laid in that tomb, and he rose that third day. But all that had to be fulfilled. Of course, the Old Testament points to Jesus, because that was a correction that needed to be done from the sin that Adam and Eve, we have inherit. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can go where we can come right where we're at, and we can have a communication with Jesus where we're at. That's the grace and mercy, right? I want to tell you guys, that is true peace. And once again, true peace is in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, a lot of times you look within God's life, or Jesus' life, in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And he demonstrated all these fruit of the Holy Spirit. He demonstrated love. He demonstrated joy. And of course, he demonstrated peace. So when we're looking to define peace, and a biblical peace, guys, which is going to be opposite of the world, you can look at Colossians 1:20. It tells us this, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, and we're talking about the cross, by whom to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And then you go to Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, be thankful. A Christian peace can be defined as this: having tranquility in your heart that originates from the understanding that your life is truly in the hands of a living God. Kind of just think that over, guys. A peace. And we're looking at Galatians 5, and it speaks of, we looked at love, joy, peace. Tranquility, that's a calmness in your heart that comes from understanding this life is not ours. God, it's in the hands of a loving God that truly loves us more than what we can understand. We are not in control of anything. It's all about Jesus. You see, Jesus gives us this peace. This peace is permanent and secured. It is built on a sure foundation of God's word, and it deals with sin. Because of our flesh, we want to give into the spirit of fear and let it destroy our true peace in Jesus. And I know if you look across the landscape, You see the spirit of fear. It's running rampant. Fear replaced peace. Why peace should replace fear. Don't fear. Don't give in to the spirit of fear. But a power and sound mind. That is peace within the chaos. If you look at 1 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Philippians 4:7 says this, and peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You know, John tells us that in John 14:27, it said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. He gives you that peace. And he says, not as the world give it. We just went over the whole how the world wants to give it to us. He said, my peace is different. I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, what is Paul and John telling us here? That what they're saying, Jesus gives us peace as a child of God that surpasses the world's peace. And this peace is permanent, is secured, is built on a solid foundation that is the Word of God. And it deals with a true problem in our life. And that is sin. It's because of sin that we're under this curse. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to operate in our life, regardless of what we're going through, we can hold on to that promise in our heart that Jesus will be right there with us through all the chaos that we're seeing today. And we see it in the future. Our peace is, you know, we'll see other things. It will intensify, guys. It's going to get worse. But that I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying you shouldn't be scared. It means we're getting closer and closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming for us, guys. And that should create a peace within all this. And you're looking around. Don't blend in with the world. Yes, take care of yourself. I'm not saying not take care of yourself. And I'm not saying go get things. Get supplies if you need them. But don't act the way the world acts. If you don't get those supplies, pray on it. God will provide a way. He will provide for your needs. Do you have this type of peace in your life? When we look at Matthew 7:16-20, it breaks my heart when I look at these verses. There's a lot of things in Matthew 7. A lot of people misquote Matthew 7:1, and then leave the rest of Matthew 7 out because it's hard to take in. But they really like Matthew 7:1, judge lest ye be judged. That's favorite scripture, and the rest of it's like, eh. I don't really like the rest of that, but there's some sad scriptures in Matthew 7. And this is, of course, one of them. To me, it's sad. It said, ye shall know them by their fruits. He said, you will know the people by their fruits. And he said, do men gather grapes or thorns, you know, or figs or thistles? In verse 7, even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit. He says a good tree will bring forth good fruit. He said a good tree will. But he said a corrupt tree, and you can look at corrupt, and it bring forth evil fruit. You can say evil tree bring forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, meaning a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bring not forth good fruit, Jesus says, is cut down and cast into the fire. That's not a very pleasant read there. Because he said, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. This is serious, guys. Not my words. It's Jesus' words. He says, every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. And the fire is not good, guys. And when we look at this, what is Jesus trying to tell us today, guys? What he was trying to tell his audience then, and what he's trying to tell us now. If you're a follower of Jesus, fruits should be seen in your life. I'll say fruit and fruits, right? When you look at peace, that is a fruit. The fruits of peace, that is calmness, could be calmness. That could be a fruits of that fruit. It could be just looking around like a calmness. Does your life really have a calmness when you look around it? Another fruits of peace is love. Well, power and sound mind. So when you look at peace, the product or the yield of that can be power, sound mind, and calmness. Does your life produce that within the storm? Are you given over to the spirit of fear and a lack of faith in Jesus? Are you prideful and you want to control your own actions? And you got this. You're grabbing on to the world. This is evil fruit. And Jesus says it will be cut off and cast into the fire. The world's peace is different than a Christian's peace. As we look today at Paul and Silas, you know, or as I was looking, I was actually running across, and I came across Paul and Silas, and they were beaten, and they were whooped, and they were stripped naked, and they were thrown in the deepest and darkest hole in the prison. And that midnight hour, they just started praying and singing praise, you know, for where they were at, and you know, they weren't. And then I think of the disciples that we were talking about. They were in the boat and the storm came and they were freaking out. And they woke Jesus up and they rebuked the storm. And the disciples and the storm became the storm became calm. And there was peace within that storm. Jesus said we can have the same peace within all the storms in life that hits us, regardless of viruses, any sickness, loss of loved ones, loss of job. Because this is kind of the key to the sermon today. This is the takeaway message. Because our peace is permanent and secure. It is not temporary or insecure. Because our peace is in the word of God and not in ourselves, that we are not in control, but God is in control. Because our peace tells us that God sent his son to die for our sins, to give us the Holy Spirit that lives inside us, that corrects us and guides us and directs us to live a life that produces our yields, our bring forth good fruits that will blow the definition of the world's peace out of the water. They don't know what to do, because this world is Satan's world. It's corrupt. It's under a curse. And they will not understand that type of peace. Because if they're not a child of God, then they are a child of Satan. You see, the world peace, it will fill you with empty promises. They only can bring you temporary comfort. Once again, why God's peace is permanent peace. Offered by the only one who you can trust in times where it brings you to your knees. Through all the viruses and sicknesses and wars and famines and more are coming, guys. But you got to realize God has it. Place your heart in his hands and let the peace that surpasses all understanding fulfill your life and be different. Because Jesus is the true peace. Love you guys. Hope y'all have a good rest of the week. I'm going to close this out with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today, just thanking you for the opportunity for me to preach on the Word of God. To preach it to whoever's out there that needs to hear this message, Lord. I pray if they're in the midst of a storm and they're struggling, they're trying to figure out what's going on, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this sermon touches their heart and that they get on their knees and they pray to God to direct them and to guide them in direction. If they have not accepted Jesus into their life, Lord, pray, Lord, that this sermon reaches their ears and they search my website for the many messages on salvation I preached on, Lord. And they grab onto those through the Word of God. And only through the Word of God, nothing I've done, that they reach out for to you where they're at and give their lives to you. I may never meet that person. I never know their name. All I know is one person comes to you, Lord, and that's all that matters. I pray, Lord, forgive me where I may have failed you during this sermon, Lord. I pray that the words that I speak was your words, Lord. I pray, Lord, that within these storms and this pandemic, Lord, you be with us and guide us and direct us, strengthen us throughout it, that reflects your glory and your honor. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.